Amen. Amen. Father, we do. We want to be ready for your coming. So, Lord, we pray you give us strength this afternoon as we sit together and as the Word of God comes forth. We pray for your anointing, your life, to give us strength, to give us hope in this hour, Lord. Yeah. That we might be more than conquerors through the holy name of Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, praise God. I hope that you've all enjoyed your meal today. We won't be too sleepy. Okay, praise the Lord. Is that a little too loud, Gordon, or sounds a little too loud? Praise the Lord. I want to start off in the book of Luke, chapter 12. And I trust the Lord will bring forth everything that's in His heart to give to us this afternoon. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 12 and verse 35. All right, verse 35 says, "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord, for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants." Hallelujah. "And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not have suffered or allowed his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not." Hallelujah. We've been watching and waiting for the Lord for many years, for a number of us here. Some here in this room, over 40-some years, believing that the Lord's return was coming at any time. In fact, I think a lot of us here are surprised that he had not already come. In fact, when we thought the world was getting so dark in the 70s and 80s, we said, surely this must be coming the midnight hour. How can it get even darker than it was in the 70s or in the 80s or in the 90s? And yet, the Lord tarried. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's gotten darker. Even when we think that it's gotten the darkest, it's gotten even darker than what we thought was the darkest. Hallelujah. But, you know, God is looking and waiting. Watching. And he wants us to be watching and waiting for him. And oh yes, you know, a lot of us, we you know, when we become born again and new in the Lord, we're very zealous for the Lord, right? Huh? How many of you ever met a young Christian that wasn't zealous for the Lord? But how many of you have met Christians that through a course of time, their zealousness or their zeal for the Lord grew very dim? And many of them turned back in the course. Hallelujah. But the Lord is speaking in this particular scripture verse is that he's saying, if I tarry, will I still find you watching and waiting? Huh? Yeah. Huh? It's one thing to say, I commit my life to you, Lord. And then how about when we go through the rigors of life, the things that are not so easy, and year after year comes by and begins to test our faith, right? Huh? Hallelujah. So if he comes in the second or third, Jesus is saying, will he still find faith on the earth? Will he still find a people that are waiting no matter what happens, that they are still going to believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. You know, there was something that was put into us as young Christians that I believe was of the Spirit of God, that would have given us the tenacity to press through no matter what difficult things happened in life. Hallelujah. And one of them I remember as a young Christian, I remember meeting an older person who had walked with the Lord for 20 or 25 years. But one day he said to me, he says, well, he goes, they've been saying Jesus is coming for 30 years. He says, I don't, he could come another 30 or 40 years. And it scared me. It scared me. You know why? I thought if I took that attitude that, okay, well, Jesus is not coming for 30 years, how diligent am I going to be to walk closely with the Lord? Huh? And this particular individual, this man's walk with God was not that strong because he was more concerned with this life and everything that had to do with it rather than watching and waiting for the return of Christ. Let me put this to you another way. You know, our watching for the Lord is not just on a single plane or a single level. Huh? I mean, He is going to come by. There is an hour when Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth. Hallelujah. Where every eye is going to behold Him. But there's also a secret coming of Jesus Christ that's going to first come within His believers. Hallelujah. And that is the watching and the waiting for Him to come within His temple. Hallelujah. And every one of you know there's a temple over in Jerusalem. Is that correct? No. Thank you, Mark. See, I'm just waiting to see if you're all awake. See, it's not the temple in Jerusalem that God is looking to come and come back in and to inhabit. The Bible in Corinthians says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And so God is going to come first. It says, and what is it in Malachi? It says, we can turn there for a minute, Malachi chapter 3. Hallelujah. Can we say amen? Amen. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek. How many of us are seeking the Lord?
Amen.
Huh? Three hands raised. Okay. All right. Raise up your hands. Okay, good. We all got motion in our bodies today. Okay, good. It says, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you shall seek shall suddenly come into his temple. Hallelujah. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. He shall come. Shall, is that a, does shall mean might? Or maybe? No, shall means must. Huh? God must fulfill His word. And He says He's coming back for a bride. Huh? A bride is the church without spot and without blemish. So there is a preparation that is going on with the people of God to prepare them for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I heard this word 35 years ago of the Lord coming and the need to prepare myself. And then, you know, and I remember as a young Christian, I remember going and we were in the Rockford Conference and several people are in this room that were at that Rockford Conference. And I was just a new Christian. February of 1982 was the correct time. More than several people here, and I see two of them over here. Brother Bert, Brother Craig, you were there, weren't you? In Rockford, yes, amen. And I was just a new Christian. I got saved June 27, 1980, when the Lord came into my wife and me the night we were saved. And lo and behold, 18 months later, I'm in a room with people from all over the country of the United States. Men of God ministry that God had raised up. I mean, and I'm sitting there and I'm 27 years of age when I first came to the Lord. And I'm sitting there, God, thank you for coming into my life. But I got all this garbage, all this baggage from 28 years of being in the world. And we were hearing of the Lord's coming and I thought, you know, God, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. Oh, God, give us more time. I think that's why the Lord tarries. He's giving us more time to get ready. Yeah, it's my fault. It's my fault. I'll take the blame. Because the truth of the matter, I still feel I'm not ready yet, Lord. Give me a little more time. Huh? Hallelujah. But, you know, it puts something within me that, God, I don't want to put your coming afar off. I do not want to be asleep at your coming. You understand? I believe that it's coming at any time. And because it did not come in 1982 or 1985 or 1990, that did not discourage me. Because I kept saying, God, thank you. I get a little more time to get ready. Huh? Let me just ask you this right now. How many of you feel you still need to get ready yet? Oh my goodness. Look around, everybody. Look at a lot of hands up, right? Okay. Because if Jesus came today and we weren't ready, oh my goodness, we'd be like the five foolish virgins. Huh? He says, begone, I didn't know you. You didn't open your heart up to me. You did not allow the Holy Spirit to come in and begin to change your emotions, your desires, your will, your mind. Hallelujah. You know, as we're here in this conference this weekend, I was meditating yesterday about the Word and the exhortation last night. You know, I appreciate when Brother Bert gets up and begins to minister about a certain bar of excellence. You know, if you were running, say you were in the Olympics, or you were a runner in the Olympics or a high jump, you'd have to do a lot of practicing, wouldn't you? Huh? I mean, if you're in the Olympics, are you going to be satisfied placing fifth or tenth or even third? What do you have to, if you want to attain to the top, what do you got to aspire to be?
The goal.
The goal. Hallelujah. The goal to be able to do. So these trainers work day in and day out, hours and hours. You know, the gymnastics, they do 6 hours. Boy, if I did 5 minutes of gymnastics, I'd be tired. Much less 6 hours. Huh? But they work for perfection. And you know, something has to come to the people of God that gives us that same zeal, that same desire to begin to press on. If we are to be called to be part of the first fruit company, or what you call God's elect. Hallelujah. But you see, something is happening. You know, when I'm meditating upon what God's doing here, when we're in the conferences over in Europe and in Germany and Czech, the Spirit of God is wooing the people of God to come into that place in which they would prepare themselves for the coming of the Lord. Now, God works, is a many-faceted God. And He works in various ways to get us to that place. All right. He not only speaks to us into our soul and into our spirit by the Word of God. I mean, you know, when the Word of God is coming forth, how many of you feel convicted that you need to repent? Huh? And God does that through various ways in which He begins to set a standard for you to say, I need to reach up higher. God begins to work. You know, I was thinking Brother Mark was ministering about the locusts the last 2 days, yesterday and today. And he's speaking about the current crisis in the world and the situations that are going on. And that really no place in the world is safe anymore.
Right.
Hallelujah. Oh, you would think Paris would be safe, right? Well, they found out Paris is not a very safe place to be. You know, in fact, just I think it was yesterday, they had a lockdown on the capital city of Belgium. That nobody was moving. And all the major intersections, all there was soldiers there. They told everybody, don't go to any place where people are gathering. Huh? I say we're living in perilous times. Wouldn't you say so? Hallelujah. But I want to speak to you as the people of God and to those that know that they need to commit their lives to God, that we're living in an hour where we need to be wakened. Hallelujah. You know, Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Huh? And our adversary is the devil. Paul put it in Ephesians. He says, we war not against flesh and blood. Right? Someone comes up and they get angry at you and hit you in the face. And the first thought you are, why did that person do that? What, did you ever think it was the devil that worked through that person to do it? Or that person wouldn't be of sound mind, would you think, Patty? If they just came up and hit you? Huh? Hallelujah. Or someone says something bad about you. You know, maybe I shouldn't paint a wide brush. I can say it myself. The first thing I want to do is react naturally. Huh? I get my feelings hurt. Huh? Why'd they say such a thing? I'm not that bad of a person. That's my first mistake. I just say, you know, except for the grace of God, you know, I'm a sinner like anybody else. Hallelujah. There's no good thing in me. Paul acknowledged that in himself. He says, yeah, there is no good thing in me except for Christ and Christ crucified. Hallelujah. But I believe God is wanting to awaken us.
Amen.
As a church. I believe God is wanting to warn us. You know, there is a word that's in the Old Testament that says, it says God will not do anything upon the earth except for first he what is it? Servants, the prophets. There is a prophetic voice in the church that begins to speak and to prepare God's people for what lies ahead at the midnight hour. Hallelujah. And so I want to share with you something that the Lord brought to me a couple of weeks ago in a dream. I shared it over in Europe, and I really feel the need to share it here. Brother Gordon had been putting it out on those discs that he had been passing out today. It was from the Czech conference. But I'd like to read the dream to you because I really believe God is saying something to us as a church to prepare us for what we are about to go through. Amen. So I want to just read the third part, and there's two parts to this middle part, but I really want to zero in on one part of it. But I'd like to read it all to you. And, okay, so bear with me. I'm just going to read it. I had wrote it down the night that I had received it. In this particular dream, I was with other brethren, and we found ourselves up on the upper floors of a very tall skyscraper. And while we were up there, all of a sudden it was like the walls were removed. So if you would say, like, this is the high level of the skyscraper, all of a sudden this whole wall was gone. And what I could see was there was an adjoining skyscraper of the same height, similar to like the Twin Towers, and only a very narrow street separated between the two buildings. And as I stood there watching that, first thing I noticed, I had a brother in the Lord that was standing next to me. And across from us, there was the devil, there was Satan, standing on the same level in the adjoining skyscraper. And he stood there, and he was intimidating and challenging us. Huh? And as he was doing so, his power was echoing throughout. There was the chasm in between the two skyscrapers. It was that burst of fire, and smoke-like explosions were going off, you know, sort of like in a war zone. And they were bouncing, I could see between the levels, they were bouncing back and forth between the two buildings, all these explosions. And then he looked directly at us, the brother and me, and he spoke that he would utterly destroy us and that we had no power over him. Now, the next thing was the thing that startled me. Because when he said that, he lifted his arm, like I'm lifting my arm right now, and he pointed it towards us, and out of that, the fingertips, as he reached out his arm, went a stream of cold. Sort of like a laser beam. And he just shot it out. And and it began everywhere where that coldness touched, it froze everything. The one brother next to me, he was holding a water bottle, and I could see the stream of cold hit it and immediately froze it completely, like nitrogen would instantly freeze something. And at that point, I also realized there were many more brethren around us. Some of them were children, okay? And the stream of cold that came from him began freezing everything in our environment, including people. Now, I don't know where it came from, but all of a sudden, boldness came from me at that moment. And I told the brother next to me not to receive what the devil was speaking. I turned around and spoke to the brother in the background not to give in to the devil's attack. Amen? I then turned back around and spoke directly to the devil. Now that's the boldness that can only come from the Spirit of God. Your power is limited, I said. I then rebuked him and said, we reject you. There came a strong confidence that he, the devil, would not get the victory over us. Suddenly there were no more explosions of fire, and the attack of coldness stopped and did not overcome us. Hallelujah. Can we say amen to that?
Yes.
All right. We'll go back to that. I want to finish the second part of the dream because that wasn't all. Because when I saw that the devil was no more standing at that adjoining skyscraper, instead of the devil there, I saw large double open doors or gates. And I knew it was the doorway to hell. I then saw a massive stream of humanity in the adjoining skyscraper, and they started to come and turn the corner in order for them to go into the doorways of hell. Hallelujah. I also now saw that while I'm seeing all this, I also saw now a bridge appear between that skyscraper and the skyscraper we were on. It was a narrow bridge. Hallelujah. And I yelled out to the people for them to turn and not go to the doorway of hell. It made me shout. I kept seeing, but the majority of the people kept going through the doorways. You know, I'm thinking, my God, just think if you were in that place, what would you do if you see people going into the doorway of hell? Huh? I did everything I could do to shout for them to stop, come over to where we were. And it made me to shout even more. And I sensed as I was shouting that I was really shouting that Jesus Christ was the way to escape the doorway to hell. Then more people started coming over to us, and less were now going through the doors. And it got me excited, and I turned to all the brethren around me, and the brethren, and to even the children that were there, and I spoke. I said to them, you have the power and the ability to share with those people in order for them to escape the doors of hell. With that, the brethren all began to reach out and speak to the people as well. Then I saw, once we were all doing it, that the majority of the people were now coming over that bridge to us, and the minority of it were going to the doorway of hell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the second part really speaks of our responsibility of evangelism to the world. Many people need to hear the salvation message, the good news of Jesus Christ. If it were not for people praying for me, when I was a sinner and a very good sinner, and while I was in my own sins, that God in His mercy came and brought the gospel to me, and I heard the word and I committed my life to God. If it weren't for other individuals, in fact, it was a man who was an evangelist, had a gift of evangelist, kept bugging us to come to our house in order for us, you know, and we knew him and we knew he had religion, and I really didn't. That was the last thing I wanted, was to have somebody with religion come and talk to me about religion. I'm telling you something about God. That was the attitude I had the night before I got saved. Now, how can God work in some heart like that? I don't, you know, that just shows me about the mercy of God, right, Brother Wade? Huh? But God in his mercy and a love towards me, because He saw me a few months earlier where I came to a sum total of my whole life, 27 years, of all the things I did, good and bad. And of course, you know, you put it on the scale. Now, if you're a sinner, you always think, well, I hope to make it to heaven, you know. Well, I do some good things. Well, I do some bad things. So, you know, a scale like this, you remember, it's a weight scale. Okay, yeah, you know, well, maybe I do, maybe, you know. But, you know, you always convince yourself that the good's outweighing the bad, so that you're hopeful at the end of the day that God will say, okay, well, you know, you're all right. You know, you did some good things. I'm eking by. Well, I'm deceiving myself because God doesn't work that way. God doesn't work on the place on if I'm good or not, because the Bible says that there is no man that is good, no, not one. It says that we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Amen. And you know, it took a man to come to our house and share just simple things to us. But see, 2 months before we got saved, I realized I was going to hell because I knew what I thought. I knew what I did. And I knew that there was no way that I was going to be a candidate for heaven, because I knew that my thoughts and my soul was incompatible with what is pure and holy. Hallelujah. But God in His love and mercy reached out to me while I was yet a sinner. Right, Rita? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And this man comes and he says, George, do you know that God is real? I go, oh yeah, yeah, you know. And he goes, No. He goes, I'm not talking churches. I'm not talking statues. I'm saying He's real, just as you are to me, as I am to you, and you are to me right now. And I go, well, you know, I never thought of that way. And then, you know, we just talked some more. And he just began to share the simplicity about how God was real and how God wanted to come into us and live inside of us. But because we're sinners, that we need to repent of our sins and then to receive Christ as our Savior. Well, to make a long story short, we got saved that night. And that night that we got saved, our lives were totally changed around. Not because we had to, or now that we felt. I mean, the joy of the Lord came into our lives. It was like a big hypodermic needle stuck in my arm, and it was vitamin J. Jesus. Big shot that never had to get another shot again, because it's been working for 35 years. Jesus Christ alive. The reality of who God is. Hallelujah. And you know, I think that's why we need to shake ourselves. Many people are going to hell. Many people are going to hell. And we don't really care as much. Sometimes what we do is we care more about what's going on in our lives than the person around us. And the problem that we do in that is because we're not in the spirit as we should be, that we are sensitive to what God wants to say and to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Ronald and Sister Margaret were giving a testimony. Margaret was giving a testimony of her father, how her father was coming into the meetings for a number of times and didn't say a word. They had no idea what was happening to him until the night they were sitting there, and he says, I need to ask you a question. I want to be in the holiest of all. How do I get there? The man was listening. The man was hearing. You know, you can't go by the seeing of your ear or the seeing of your eye or the hearing of your ear. And it spoke to me that, you know, you just don't know what's happening to people's lives. Amen. Never judge a book by its cover. Can we say amen to that? Amen. We were on a plane coming from Nigeria 2 years ago. And, Brother Mark, that was the time that we went home that week early. Remember, we got our tickets changed and everything. So we were in the airport of Lagos. And so we got on the plane the last minute. They had to really move us around. So I ended up sitting next to a man from the United States. I mean, that guy was tall. You know, I'm 6 foot. He must have been 6'8" or something. He had a stocking cap on, full beard. You know. And he was, you know, I thought, oh, I'm going to sit next to this guy. And come on now. You don't ever do that. You start to think, well, where's this guy coming from? Well, you know, I start to talk with the man. You know, I like to talk to people. You know, I do. I want to find out where they're at. No matter where he was at, I was going to share about Jesus Christ with him. Well, all of a sudden, I said, well, good afternoon, sir. He says, well, hello, sir. How are you? I was sort of taken back by, yes, sir. No, sir. He was talking very nice to me. And here I get talking with the man. He had done two or three tours of duty in Iraq, might have been in Afghanistan, and I noticed the shirt said Blackwater on it. So anyway, he was telling me that he was in the service, and when he got back home after all of his tours of duty, he went to an office job, and he said, well, he goes, that's not for me. He said, so I signed up with Blackwater. Well, Blackwater is the ones that provide security in trouble spots throughout the world. And here to find out that the man was part of this team that goes on to ships that are the, what do you call that? They're the tactical units in case the pirates come, you know. So he's talking about that, and I'm talking with him and talking a little bit about the Lord. And the man was very, very respectful, you know. And I always carry with me Mr. Pegalos. I always feel that I'd disobey the Lord if I didn't have something to give some. You know, when you're on a plane, chances are you'll never see that individual again, you know. Unless God happens to have it, but I gave him a Mr. Pegalo. Thank me very much. You know, had a chance to share with him my testimony of how Christ had come into my life. So it's planting seeds. I don't know whatever happened to that man. I prayed for him. I believe in God's going to touch the man. But you know, I find time and time again, you never look, never judge humanity where they're at. You know, they could be a guy sitting there smoking a cigarette, you know, looking hunched all over. And, you know, that could be the guy that God is zeroing in on to bring into his kingdom. Hallelujah. Of course, you know, I used to smoke too, not just cigarettes. Huh? But if someone judged me by my cover, boy, I wouldn't be here. You know, there is a place that we need to be to begin to bring people into God's kingdom. But that's really not what I'm sharing about this afternoon. I'm sharing you the second one. The majority of what I want to touch your heart today is the first part. We face an adversary, don't we? The devil, right? The Bible calls these the prince of the power of the air. He's the prince of this world. He has been working since the beginning of time when he first deceived Adam and Eve in the garden. And he has rulerships throughout all the earth. He's got, the Bible calls it the prince and his polity. So that means he has kingdoms. We live in a natural world here in Dubuque, Iowa. You know, we're here at the university. These are things we can touch, the building. But there is another avenue. There is another frequency, both heaven and hell. Hallelujah. God says that wherever two or three are gathered together in His name, He's there in our midst. Do we believe that word? That means that Jesus Christ is here this afternoon. Now, when I say we are gathered together in His name, that means nature. I mean, we're not here to watch a football game, are we? Or are we here to study about biology? All right, if we were there, Jesus wouldn't be here. But he says, if two or three are gathered together in his name, he says, I'm right here in the midst of us. Hallelujah. The thing is, and I could say about myself, I tend more to go with what I see than what I don't see. But not only is heaven here, but hell is also here. And we know that the next excellent example of that is in the book of Job. The Bible says in the book of Job that there came a day when the sons of God gathered themselves together to present themselves before God. Satan was there also. Let me give you another little hint. We're here in the meeting and we're talking about God. And all of a sudden an evil thought comes into your mind. Oh, God forbid. Could that happen here? Come on, let's be honest. Have you ever had evil thoughts come into your mind while you're in church? Yeah. Okay, so yes, raise your hands, everybody. Not everybody, just ones that know that it happened to. Okay, there you go. All right. So we're fighting things that we all face. Revelation 12 says that there is an adversary that we overcome, and that is the devil. And it says that they overcame him, the devil, by the word of their testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Hallelujah. 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 You know, the one thing I was thankful for when I was raised up in a religious home, they taught me about heaven. They taught me about hell. They taught us about God. They taught us about the devil. They taught us other things. I won't go into that. But it gave me a certain fear of that and belief that there is God. And they taught me that God had a son named Jesus Christ. The problem was, it wasn't in my heart. It was just up here. I knew he was out there somewhere, but I had no relationship with God. Even though I would go to church time after time after time after time, they would say, oh, if you did this or if you did that or if you took a wafer and you put it into your mouth. Huh? But that didn't make me holy. In fact, I started to wonder, well, if I put this wafer in my mouth and this is really God, how long does God be with me? Is he with me for a minute? Is he with me for a half hour? Is he with me for a day? No, honestly, I mean, this is the way I thought. Well, you know how I found out how he really wasn't with me long at all? It didn't take me before I got out to church that I was sinning again. Huh? Hallelujah. Then, of course, found out later on as I walked with the Lord that partaking of communion is a symbolic meaning of the breaking of the body of the bread of Jesus Christ, which is synonymous of the body of Christ. And that the wine represents what Jesus Christ did on the cross on Calvary for us. Hallelujah. All right, getting back to the dream. Because this is something that I believe that is coming from God to warn us as the people of God. You see, the devil has a tactic. Well, he's got a number of tactics. First thing he wants to do is intimidate us. Huh? He wants us to think that he's bigger than what God is. Huh? Right, Mike?
Yes.
I mean, we don't say it at times, but all of a sudden the devil hits us with something and we go, oh, how am I going to overcome this? Huh? He comes through intimidation. He comes to mock us. And you know, the one thing about devil, he hates anything that has to do with God.
That's right.
Huh? Yeah. Anything has to do with God, he hates it. He will destroy it. How do we know that? Well, he destroyed God's own son. His hatred for God and his kingdom was everything he knew. Ha, this is the Son of God. He worked his mischief to bring Jesus Christ to be put on the cross. But the devil, as you know, in the dream, remember when the boldness came over me and I said, devil, your power is limited. Huh?
Right.
You see, now listen, God is
omnipresent.
Yeah, all powerful.
Omnipresent.
He's everywhere. Huh? David said, even if I make my bed in hell, God is there with me.
Yeah.
Huh? You know, this is how good God is, Brother George. We can fall into temptation and sin, and you know, God's there the whole time. Yeah, saying, George, you need to repent. My name's George too, by the way, so I can say it for me as well as George. But God is omnipresent and omniscient, all powerful. So the devil's power, one, is limited. And the devil can't be everywhere at the same time. Though he has his principalities, he has his other fallen angels, and he has demons, disembodied spirits, to work their mischief. But you know, Jesus gave all of us a promises. The problem with the promises is we forget the promises of God. One, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Huh? I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. He also said, I have given you power. Well, that too. I have given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. He said also, I have given you power over all the power of the enemy. And nothing in by any ways shall harm you. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible also says all things work together for good to those who love God.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. See the key? We have to first love God, that then all those things can work for our good. Even when sickness befalls us. Finances. God says all things work together for our good. Why? Is God's plan when he calls you, when you become born again, is to make you a rich person? Huh? Is that God's ultimate plan?
No.
Huh? He wants to prosper you. But you know, prosperity is more than just natural. Prosperity is in the spirit.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I remember when, as a young Christian, we were saved in 1980. And during that time, you know, the devil comes with other gospels. Do you know that? There's lots of teachings out there. And back in the 80s, the big move of the in the Pentecostal realm was the faith movement. You know? Declare it. And you'll get it, you know? Okay, claim it. Yeah, claim it. It was claim it. Claim it and you'll get it. And I'm sitting there, God, I don't want to be like that. Why do I want to claim a car? Claim this, claim that. What good will that do? I need my soul changed.
Yeah.
You know? And so there was something, and it had to be of God, that came into me that wanted something more. That I said, God, I don't care about natural blessing. That's not what I'm after. I want a spiritual blessing. I want your life. I want your nature. I want your character. Hallelujah. So I don't know, it was a month or two afterwards, my wife and me, we noticed a family that were Christians that didn't have much. And all of a sudden it just came into us. You know, go buy a bag of groceries and do this. And so we put together a bunch of things. They weren't home. We just went up and put it at their front door and left. And I'm telling you, brethren, I can't explain the blessing I got out of that. And it was like if someone would have gave me a brand new Cadillac and gave me the key. I was more blessed than if someone would have done that. And then I read later where it says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Hallelujah. And so it's a principle in God. Hallelujah. And I met some wonderful Christians that were in the faith movement. But you know, God calls people and they get saved. But it's the doctrines of the devil that corrupts and takes them off the path. Remember what I said? What do you think God called us to be? Huh? Prosperous? No, God has called us to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To be like Jesus Christ. Huh? Bible says, you know, you came into the world with nothing and you're also going to leave with nothing. Huh? So it isn't what you gain in this life, in the natural realm. It's what you gain in the spirit.
Amen.
Huh? It's what you gain in your soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. So we're living in a day where I believe we are living in the end time. The end of time. Darkness is covering the face of the earth. Can we agree with that?
Yeah.
Huh? Or is everything bright and cheerful? Oh, happy days. Not in Europe. And certainly it isn't here in the States. And it's certainly not over in the Middle East. Or you travel to any country like Bali. Not happy days there, is it, Brother Ronald? No, no, no. And the Bible says it's going to get darker and darker. But a light is going to shine forth in the people of God.
Amen.
Now the devil has a plan. You read Revelation chapter 12. And it talks about the vision of the woman standing upon a woman clothed with the sun and ready to bring forth a child. All right? Which is speaking symbolically of the Holy Place Church standing on the outer court church ready to bring forth the man child. But there was a dragon there waiting for that man child to be birthed so that he could snatch him up, devour him. Hallelujah. And that's what the devil's plan is. He wants to destroy each and every one of us. He's no respecter of persons. Well, yes, he is, I would say. Let me just put it this way. Devil doesn't have to work with all of the people that are under his control. All sinners, you know. The Bible says in Ephesians that we once were what? We were dead in sin and trespasses, and we walked according to the prince of this life. But he says, now has he quickened us. And when we were born again, when we accept Christ into our lives, there comes a change, not only in the natural, but in the spiritual realm. That all of a sudden, we which were once enslaved and encapsulated in darkness, we have been now been translated out of that kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Amen. Hallelujah. We became born again. Hallelujah. New creatures. To walk with God. To be in communion with God. So that God would say, okay, now that I have given you eternal life, come, will you dedicate your whole life to me? Will you be baptized? Will you die the old man that I might bring newness of life inside of you? Hallelujah. Come on, I'm refreshing yourself. Hallelujah. I'm refreshing myself of our commitment to God and to the kingdom of God. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm not like out there. Though the devil would want to conform me to this life. And you know, and I can be conformed if I submit to the devil. Because the Bible says, whatever spirit you submit yourself to, that spirit you become servant to obey. That's why Christians can still have devils. Huh? Before I was saved and I was under the spirits of alcohol and lust and all these things, if I go back and submit myself to it, those spirits come back to my house. They come back to say, I will have rule over you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to begin to realize the battle that we're in. Hallelujah. And in the dream, the devil said, ha-ha, sticks his finger out and sends the coldness. You know, almost like a Star Wars movie. Huh? Flashes. Huh? Cold. Okay, come on now. Let's understand what that coldness is. Or let's understand it according to the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 24, it says that in the latter times. You know, the whole book of chapter 24 is talking about the end of days. Remember, the disciples came to Jesus and he says, explain to us about your return. And Jesus began to say, He began to say, there'll be wars, there'll be rumors of wars, there'll be earthquakes, famines. He goes, all these are the beginning of sorrows. He goes, and then he says, and because that iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax, what was it?
Cold.
Hallelujah. Cold-hearted, stony heart, stony flesh. Hallelujah. How do you know, God is giving us, He's giving us blueprint of how the devil works. And if we're smart enough to learn, and so we get rid of the coldness in our lives, Patty. And coldness can come many different ways, many different forms. Hallelujah. It says, because iniquity. Now, when you look up that word iniquity, it means lawlessness. It means outside of righteousness. Huh? So, it's not only iniquity out there, but iniquity in our own hearts that will make our hearts wax cold. Hallelujah. And it just doesn't come when and all of a sudden go, when? Here's a shot of cold. Your heart waxed cold. No, he doesn't do it that way. He just works behind the scenes. And you know, he doesn't just take a week or 2 weeks. Sometimes he takes a year. He takes 2 years. He takes 10 years. Sometimes he takes 20, 30. Huh? Devil's been around for 6,000 years. What's 30 years to him? Huh? He'll work on you. Whatever it is to keep you from the love of Jesus Christ. To keep you in a place of bondage. Hallelujah. And one of the ways that he works is in the place of relationships. That's why the Lord, when you read the Gospels and you read what Jesus said, you know, he says, hey, before you take the beam out of your brother's, or the mote out of your brother's eyes, first take the beam out of your own eye. You know, the problem with humanity is we all see everybody else's faults, but we don't see our own faults. But the reason why he said what he said was between a mote and a beam. A beam is like this, right? Huh? It's a large thing. Put that in front of your eye. You're going to see very much. But he says, before you take the mote, that means just a little bit of sliver. Patty, look, I see that little sliver in you. You're a bad lady, girl. Here, let me help you take it out. I got this big beam, but I'm going to try to work it. You know, my God, I can't do anything for God if I'm out of the Spirit of God. If I am burdened with hardness, coldness. You know, brethren, we need to repent. We need to change. There's something in us. And all I can do is I can relate it to my own self. And things that I have to ask God. God, remove from me. Remove me if I get hurt or offended. You know what happens with hurt if you don't deal with hurt? It gets deeper and deeper, and all of a sudden you'll go into bitterness. And when you read about bitterness, it's a bad place to be in the scripture verse. In fact, it says that, what was it? We were talking, I think, earlier today about Esau. Huh? He had a root of bitterness. And he cried to be delivered, and he could not because it defiled. And he says, and because of the root of bitterness, many become defiled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, you know, when you take a communion, every man examine himself. See, if you're in the faith, do you have something that you're holding against one another? You know, the devil's plan is, oh yes, you just wait. Everything will be all right as long as that other person repents. Then happy days are here again. It don't work that way. In fact, the best thing for you is for you to repent, for me to repent. It doesn't matter as much, you know, I'd like the other people to repent, but it's not my place. I'm not God. I'm not in the place of God. I can pray for others, but I better pray for myself first. Huh? I need to pray, God, give me a heart of love. Give me a heart of love for this person, for that person. Give me a love for my wife. Give me a love for my husband. Give me a love for my children. Children, give me a love for my parents. I hope your children are listening to me today. Because the devil doesn't know anything about age. He's going to shoot you with coldness, whether you're 4 years old or 80 years old. He can get you upset with your brother and sister and to do all sorts of things. And I'm telling you, children, you know, if you submit to the devil, guess what? You keep submitting to the devil, it's going to form a character in you that is evil. And that evil is going to take you into a prison house. And that prison house is going to make you into a person that just like the devil and not by like Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's why it's important, whether you're young and old, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The thing is that the devil's been working hard in the church to keep the church into a place of bondage and captivity. Hallelujah.
Yes. Right.
I can't take the place of God and be God over the church. But I can walk in obedience to the Spirit of God and be changed.
Amen.
And say, God, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. David thought he was all right. But the one thing between David and Saul, he found repentance. But David, when he committed his sins, he kept walking around thinking he was okay. Until the prophet came and gave a little scenario. Oh, king, there's this man. He came to a man with many sheep, and he took it, or one sheep. And this man had many, and he took that one little sheep and took it onto himself. What do you say, king? Bring that man for judgment. Nathan goes, oh, you're the man, David. What? Me? Yes. He says, Bathsheba and Uriah. And David knew the voice of God. Hallelujah. You know, there's something about the Spirit of God versus religion. Religion makes you think that you're okay, or if I do this or this, I'll be okay in God. It has nothing to do with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God comes to bring conviction. Now, conviction is different than condemnation. Do you know that?
Yes.
It changes you. It brings us to a place that we would cry out to God and say, oh God, I'm a sinner. Cleanse me. You know, there's something that happens. It's not just in the saying of words. It's in the action of the heart. When a man is confronted with himself and he says, God, I am a sinner. God, forgive me. God, deliver me that I might be set free of these things that hinder and bind me. Hallelujah. I look out at you young children. We exhort you. You know, it's not just old men up here exhorting young people.
Amen.
We were young like you.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
And probably weighed a little less weight. I certainly weighed less than you, Chris, at your age. Hallelujah. And you know what about the, you know what's funny about time? You can become 62 years of age. You know, the only thing I feel is in my body. I don't feel it in my mind. Huh? I still remember when I was a young man. I still remember when I was born again. I still remember the first time we went over to India, right, Susie? Huh? My wife and me going over. You obey God. There's something about obeying God that you money can't buy. And brethren, I'm telling you, we circumvent God in our lives. God wants to work through us. He wants to not only change you, but He wants to change the environment around you. Hallelujah. We were singing last night about that song, Brother Ronald and Sister Margaret, you were singing about goodbye world.
Yes.
Goodbye pleasures of sin. Hallelujah. Even as Christians, we have to overcome Amen. The pleasures of sin, don't we? Huh? And we find that sin, there's various degrees of sins.
Yeah, there are.
You know, there's a lot of us in here that once we got saved, well, yeah, we don't smoke pot, we don't drink alcohol anymore, huh? Or cuss, or do certain things. But there's other things we do, right? How many of us still fall into the trap of gossiping, huh? Evil thoughts, or getting upset with one another. These are things God wants us to overcome. Huh? God says we're to have what? Fervent love one for another.
Amen.
Hi, Austin. God bless you today. Hallelujah. I'm talking about life in God. And so this dream where the devil came and he shot cold, I says, don't submit to it. Don't submit to it. You don't have to. Goes back to Romans chapter 7. Whatever spirit you submit yourself to, that spirit you become servant to obey. Whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, brethren, and I think almost everyone here knows it, how blessed it is to submit to the Spirit of God. How good is it to repent? Hallelujah. As a young Christian, you know, God forgave me. I said, there, God, you forgave me for all this. And the next day after I am, the Lord reminds me of two men at the post office that I had a hard time with. In fact, it was so hard time, I wouldn't even speak for them for 2 years. 2 years, I wouldn't speak a word to them. You know why? Because they insulted me. They went around, they started telling everybody how I was, you know, I was getting favor at the post office, well, and I was working hard. Well, they didn't like hard workers. So if they don't like you convicting yourself, they went around and they began to say bad things about me. Oh, this guy, well, I won't even say what they used to say, but, you know, he would get up near to the supervisors, they got favor and all this. And you know what happened? One day, these two men, they're from the post office where I worked, they were going around to little open houses. Well, little did they know that the one house that they went to was a contractor who was the best man in my wedding. So they come in and they're looking at the house and the two men were going, oh yeah, and the man goes, oh, you worked at the post office. He says, you know George Herrick? Oh yeah, that guy, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, of course my best friend would come and tell me what they said. Now, I wasn't saved at the time, but you know what I did? You know how you have those little boxes when you fill out questionnaires? I had a check mark. They're gone. They're gone. I'm not going to speak to them. That's it. And I didn't speak to them. 2 years. Of course, they didn't speak to me either. They really didn't care either. But the next day or 2 days after I was born again, the Lord speaks to me. He says, you know, I've forgiven you your sins. You need to go ask forgiveness from me. So, I go, oh boy, okay. All right, so I go to the post office, and they're both working that day. Now, these were clerks inside. I was a carrier outside. So I see the one over there. His name's Bob. In fact, he passed away 2 years ago. And I walked over to Bob. This is 35 years ago. I walked over to him and I said, Bob, and he goes, what? I go, boy, this isn't starting off so good. I said, Bob, I go. I just want, I'm coming here to tell you, I'm asking for your forgiveness. I said, you know, Jesus Christ has come into my life. He's forgiven my sins. And it was wrong for me not to talk to you like I did. So I'm just asking that you forgive me. I was coming with a good heart, you know. And I'm waiting for him to say, well, I forgive you. You know what he did? He looked at me and he says, you're crazy. Get out of here. And he just wrote me off, you know, and I'm sitting there. Oh, wow, that didn't turn out the way I thought it would. Yeah, I had one more to go. And I thought, okay, Lord, I'm going to obey you. You know, I've forgiven the man, but now I have to walk it out. I have to ask their forgiveness. So I see the other man there and I'm thinking, boy, this is going to be the same way, you know. He's off on the other end of the post office. And I walk over to him and his name's Andy. I said, Andy, you got a minute? He goes, what? And I go, boy, this isn't sounding like the same thing again. And I said to him, Andy, I go, I'm here to ask for your forgiveness. I go, I have not talked to you for 2 years. I said, Jesus Christ has come into my life. He's forgiven my sins, and I'm asking that you forgive me. Silence. I'm thinking, oh boy, here it comes. You know, 10, 20 seconds, all of a sudden, put his head down. He said, George, I forgive you. And I thought, He says, I want to tell you, I was in a little Baptist church, and they had a salvation call, and I went up, and I accepted Christ in my life. So I forgive you. Will you forgive me? I said, Andy, sure, I'll forgive you. And I'm telling you, from that point on, I could see that man today. I could not see him for a year. I could walk up to him. He would see me and I would see him. We would just have instant fellowship. Now, his spiritual walk wasn't so strong. And he'd come up to me. He goes, I haven't been doing good, George. I said, well, I'll pray for you, Andy. I'm telling you, we always, through the years, had a wonderful relationship. Hallelujah. Well, the other man, it took probably about 15 years before he'd even start to say hi to me again. But he did, you know. I think he forgot about it. I never forgot about it. I have to keep praying for the man. You know, and finally I met him 2 years ago. I was going out to a grocery store, and there he was. He was working for the Veterans of Foreign War. He had retired. You know, I heard he had married a couple more times, you know. I think his life really went south. And, you know, just talked with him, walked away and prayed for him. And I heard 6 months later he passed away. I said, God, I hope the man had made himself right with you. But, you know, it set me free that day. You know, and it taught me a valuable lesson. Not to hold offense. You know, not to get coldness. See, that's what the Lord is saying about coldness. When we get hurt or offended, you know, we're really... All right, I'm going to say it. I'm really stupid at times. And if it applies to you, then that's all right. But what I'm saying is, we do. We listen to the devil. We don't think it's the devil. And we move on that realm. And all of a sudden we find ourselves, oh, it's because of this or that. And the devil's just sitting there laughing behind our back, thinking, I got him. Hallelujah. How many of you ever read Screwtape by C.S. Lewis? Huh? Oh, yeah, that's a marvelous little book. He would say, here's how you get to work at him. Get that individual to look at the other individual. Oh, did you see the way his little curl came up in his face? He goes, think that that's an attitude, you know. Get him to work so that your mind's thinking, you know, that you're listening to the devil rather than listening to the Spirit of God. You know, it's close, you understand.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? How many of you ever heard the devil in your life?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. How many of you heard the Spirit of God? How many times do you think that's sort of close sometimes? Or I should say your own thoughts versus the devil's. Huh? Oh yes. He comes as an angel of light to deceive. But his whole thing that Jesus said, what was it in John chapter 10? The devil comes but to kill, what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. And he hates you. He especially hates the people of God. He hates the Christians. Because he knows that if you keep in the Spirit of God, if you listen to the Spirit of God, you're going to obey the Spirit of God and you're going to do damage in His kingdom. Hallelujah. The greatest power that we have is prayer. Do you understand that? Prayer and fasting. Brother Duciel used to say that the fasting was the atomic weapon of the Christians. Hallelujah. How many of us like to fast? Okay, nobody raised their hand, Brother Burke. You didn't either, did you? I mean, none of us do. You're denying yourself. I, you know. Hallelujah. But fasting is good for us because it disciplines ourselves to seek the face of God. And you find out not only in fasting food, but other things. You know, there are other things in this world that want to come in to occupy or to take away our thoughts from God. Hallelujah. Weren't you talking about that, Brother Mark, earlier in your life? What were you saying, that how the devil, was it robbing your time? Or how was it that you put it this morning? Yeah, you know, he robs our time. He robs our ability to walk with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Some of us have to get back into the Spirit of God. How do we get rid of coldness? By communing with God. Hallelujah. By entering into our prayer closet. Hallelujah. That's why the Lord says that when you pray, don't pray like the Pharisees that go out in the street corners. Oh, I'm a holy man. Here, let me pray for you or this. He says, get into your prayer closet where no man seeth. He says, where you go into your secret place with God, God is going to reward you openly. I mean, this is God. This is the living life of God, brethren.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I marvel at God. I marvel at the wonders of who He is and what He is. Why He would call somebody like me, a nobody, a person that was worthy of hell because of all that I did. And yet He picked me up while I was unlovable. And He said, George, I'm going to wash you. And I'm not only going to wash you, I'm calling you. Huh? And God was so faithful. Brother Craig, wasn't He faithful to us? In the early days, you remember those days that God began to work in us, began to bring ministry that would bring life and strength to us. Hallelujah. We could go on with stories like in Dubuque here, how when we first were raised up, some of you, most of you have heard the thing, but in Dubuque, Iowa, God came and sent an evangelist and saved a number of us here. Hallelujah. 35 years ago, 34 years ago, Brother Wade, Sister Sherry, Mark, Sherry's, where's Sister Mary? Huh? And their daughters, Nikki and Steffi, well, they were little girls. Hallelujah. We had a wonderful time of praising the Lord. Mary would sit there, and Nikki would be there, and Steffi were there, and the music would go, and these two little girls would just be up there moving in unison with one another. The Spirit of God, I'm telling you, it was the Spirit of God. They were blowing, oh!
Yes, it was.
Hallelujah.
35 years, they're still doing it.
And you young children, you need to get into the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Don't just sit back in your seats. Begin to praise the Lord.
Yeah.
We were over in the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
We were over the, you know, whenever you see the Spirit of God start to move, God begins to move in the children. We were over in the Czech Republic, and all the children were up right here singing and praising the Lord. We were in Africa. Remember, Brother Wade, 2 years ago, and the Spirit of God fell. Remember that, Brother Bert? Brother Mark, you were there. And we were coming in, it was one of the last nights, you know. We saw God have altar calls. We saw people coming up and dedicating their lives. And, you know, it was just that last night. There was such a joy. We thought we were done. It was just the beginning. We began to praise the Lord, right, Sister Mancy? And as we were praising the Lord, the Spirit of God fell. Children were coming up there on their hands and their knees, crying out to God. People were there. All of a sudden, people were on the floor. All of a sudden, I look around, my brethren on the floor, and the Spirit of God hits me. And I have this little camera. See, you know, if you looked at it, go look it up on YouTube. It's there, that half hour.
The
butter and honey site. And I had that camera, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God hits me. I start weeping, and so all I know is someone took the camera out of my hand, and I fell down. Hallelujah. And I was glad because I wanted to be part of it. But I'm sitting there on my camera, and I'm like, well, you got to keep doing your job. Brother Barrick's in the back. You'd always tell when Barrick's really getting blessed with the Spirit of God, he takes his camera up, and he's got that thing holding up. He's getting the music. He's getting the videos. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we were at a nursing home this last week, and it was so marvelous. We're sitting there with 8 or 10 people. George, you were with me that time. And we started talking about, you know, when the Spirit of God is, that there's liberty. And I said, when there's no Spirit, it's drudgery, isn't it? And I was telling this man. Now, this man, he's Joe. He's 87 years old. And he was Roman Catholic, the same I was. And I said, you know, people, where religion is and God isn't there, it's a drudgery. And I looked at Joe. I go, isn't that right, Joe? I go, Joe, did you ever used to go to a high mass? He goes, no. All right, now I'm going to tell you, how many of you people know the difference between a high and a low mass? All right, probably 5 people. I'm going to tell you what it is. A low mass uses 2 candles and it lasts 40 minutes long. A high mass uses 12 candles and it lasts an hour long. And you know, the vast majority of people will never go to a high mass because it's 20 minutes longer than 40 minutes. And so I said to Joe, he's 87, I said, Joe, did you ever go to a high mass? He goes, no. I said, well, that's because there was no life there. I said, when there's life, I said, okay, when you watch a good movie, it almost seems like it's done. I said, that's the way it is when the Spirit of God is in our meetings. It isn't like, okay, I got 45 minutes. If you only got 45 minutes for God, I say your heart isn't right for God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you say, oh, I love God with all my heart, but I only got 45 minutes for you, I got to fit you within my schedule and this and this and this and this. That means you've got your priorities wrong. Because the Bible said, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Yeah.
And all these things shall be added unto you. You know who I think of? I think of Daniel in the Bible. I look at Daniel, and it was called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These four young men went into the midst of Babylon. They were carried out of their country, deposited in. Now remember, they were Israelites. And not only were they Israelites, they were ones that had a fear of God. And they were brought into captivity under King Nebuchadnezzar and in the kingdom of Babylon. And they made them slaves and eunuchs. And yet God favored them. And why? Because first of all, they would not compromise. They said that they brought all the food and they said, you better eat because you're going to go before the king. And if you don't look good, either I'm going to die or you're going to die. And he said, well, no. We are not going to eat of the king's table. Give us pulse. When you look it up, it was vegetables. It wasn't things like that was to the Israelites as unclean. And they said, prove us. Give us this and check us out 10 days later. Well, they gave it and the captain of the host came. Man, these four men look 10 times better than the rest of them. So the king's steward said, here, keep giving it to them. And they found out at the end of 2 years' time when they presented them forth, didn't they say they were 10 times more wiser than all the other ones? And God elevated them. They weren't looking for elevation. They were fearing God. Hallelujah. Some people are afraid to come to God's kingdom that they have to give things up. Hey, I tell you what, there's nothing to give up. It's nothing. The world is nothing. But God is everything. The nature of God, the character of God, the integrity of God, the ability for God to come in, Ronald, and change us to be like Jesus Christ. You know, they knew Daniel. They knew when they looked about him, it says, this man knows God. They brought him in. It says, this man has the ability to know what the God of heavens is saying. With all of their idolatry and all of their gods, they had to bow the knee to the God of Daniel. Hallelujah. And not only that, but God was working with Daniel.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Of course, God doesn't work with us, does He? A few yes, oh yeses. Amen, He does. He works with us. He flows through us. He wants to rule and reign in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd rather have nothing in the presence of God than all the wealth of this city.
Amen.
And all the entitlements of the city.
Hallelujah.
Huh? Amen. And all the things, wealth, possessions, titles.
Hallelujah. Yes,
I wouldn't trade my life for the richest man in this world. Because tomorrow I may die and it means nothing. But if I die tomorrow with Christ, I have everything. And I was telling a man, I was the other day, I think it was yesterday, there was a man at the post office I used to work with. Once in a while, he's still on my route. Funny thing, he's a Roman Catholic too. And I'd love to talk to them about, because he would share about, well, you know, I try to be good and I try to do, you know, I'm thinking, this guy's right where I'm at. He's right where I'm at. He's right where I was. Huh? I said, you have to believe. I said, not a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge. You must come into a revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when you do, and you say, God, I am a sinner. And to be changed. Hallelujah. I said, Al, I said, give your heart to Jesus.
Amen.
Open your soul up to God. It's not what you do. It's not doing this or doing that. You know, and he would always, God bless this, Al. God, just save him. Save him right now. Save him right now. He always would weigh out. He goes, well, you know, I got this friend and he doesn't forgive others. And, you know, I've met so many people like that. They're all worried about everybody else. And this person's got that problem. He's got that problem. Everybody but that his person's problem. Hallelujah. We were in a situation one time where we were invited to a birthday party in a not so pretty place. And there was a man there. He was a flirter or womanizer. And there was another man there, and he happened to be a boss that I had. And the boss walked up, and he goes, you see that guy over there? He goes, you see what he's doing? Isn't that terrible? I go, well, yeah, it's terrible. But what was even more terrible was this man, because he was judging that man, and he considered himself all right. You understand? Huh? You see, judge not and you shall not be judged. Hallelujah. Come on, brethren. In God's eyes, whether a sin, you know, when we were brought up religiously, we had what was called venial sins, mortal sins, original sins. I think there was one other one, I forget it, but I'm glad I forgot it. But sin is sin in God's eyes. Huh? Sin is missing the mark. Oh, yes, I'm glad I'm not that like that sinner out there. God smote me one day when I was a young Christian. I was walking around. I thought I was doing pretty good. Then I saw this one guy. I go, man, I'm glad I'm not like it. Boy, God convicted me. He goes, what are you doing? What are you doing comparing yourself with others? Don't you remember where you came from? Hallelujah. I think sometimes we forget the place that we came out of. Hallelujah. We need the plumb line, Patty. So, okay, we're going back. We're talking about this coldness that the devil is shooting out. Now, listen, brother. I have no idea fully what that means for you. But I do know the word is for the church. And I do know that if the God is speaking to you, that you acknowledge or at least begin to pray to see if you have coldness in your heart, this is what God wants you to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Children, be obedient to parents. Huh? Bible says there's a promise. Long life shall be added unto you. Disobedience, short life. Hard life. Huh? What does the Bible say? It says the way of the transgressor is hard. I think we've all experienced that, right? You ever make an excuse for your sin? Huh? You ever make excuse for your sin? Well, I had to do this because of this or that, or they did it. They, you know, you get mad and they say, you know, and a parent will come and say, well, you need to repent for your attitude. Well, they did this to me. Come on, brethren. The way that we acknowledge our transgression is the way that David did in Psalm 51. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, O God. Hallelujah. Brother, we need to examine ourselves. We need to see how much we're really in the faith.
Amen.
Or how much we're willing to pay the cost. And we have to go back to the place. Where is the condition of my heart? Do I have coldness in any degree? You know, one of the greatest evangelists of all time was Charles Finney. And if you ever read about the one of his greatest messages he shared was breaking up the fallow ground. Hallelujah. Talked about the hardness of heart. And you go down and you start to read it. And you start to read all the list of things. He says, okay, then if you think you're all right, go before God. Here, well, you know, what have you? You should have been done it and you didn't do. Your sins of omission. Things that you were busy doing this and this instead of attending to the Word of God. Hallelujah. Brethren, I'm just sharing with you, there are many ways in which we can become cold. Hallelujah. You may not be cold today, But you know the devil's working on you to become cold tomorrow or next year, week or next year. And all he has to do is start putting together his little plan. Hallelujah. You remember, Brother Bert, that vision? Well, you had it in Sierra Leone, didn't you? You mean about being in the war room of Satan? And there you saw the devil was there with all of his fallen angels, and they were plotting, planning, and there was a stack of dossiers. Huh? And demons. And there were people there too. Oh, my God. And it was a dossier of all of our names. And inside of it was what? Our weaknesses and everything about us.
Everything about
us. Huh? Knew everything. That's what the devil does. He knows. Brethren, right now, this moment, he knows whatever darkness is inside of each one of us. He knows. And he's going to work on it and work on it to get you to capitulate, to give in, to give in, to give in. Hallelujah. But, the Bible says if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Brethren, don't let escape you the conviction of God, the desire of God to deal with yours and my heart. And he's doing that this weekend. He's giving us an opportunity to repent. He's giving us an opportunity that we can escape the power of the devil. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The only person I want to have rule over me is the Holy Spirit. Huh? I don't want the devil to rule over me. I don't want to be caught into a place of confusion and darkness and doubt and unbelief, bitterness and hurt and envy. Oh, God, we have to become smarter than the devil, brethren. Come on. Come on. Let us repent for our lack of understanding, our lack of discernment in which the devil works to rob us of our inheritance, our place of walking in strength, in power, in joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The nature of God should be working within us. I had to repent this morning because I got a little agitated. My wife's laughing. It snows. We got all these things and we got a little period of time. We got to be meeting at 9:30 and we got to go and get this car. I come back in the house. Oh, we need to run to the store and get this. I go, what? You know? All of a sudden I get in and, wow, this place is hot in here. You know, the fireplace is going, well, it's hot to me. I was just outside. You know, it wasn't hot for them. So, I mean, little things that irritate. I have to repent for it. Well, I repent. I mean, brethren, I'm talking about getting rid of coldness. I got to get rid of coldness in my heart. Of course, you never get irritated, do you? No? You're being funny, right? Okay, you lie too sometimes. Okay. Well, you know, brother, I'm telling you, the church has a long way to go. Now here, let's look at the time period. It's close to midnight. And the Bible says that it's the time to buy oil. We have just a little bit of time. But there is being a separation between the wise and the foolish. And yet, I look at my own heart and I go, God, I got a long way to go. I got more oil I need to get into my emotions, into my desires, into my thinking, into my will. I got a long way to go. God, give me more time.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So I can be changed. Huh? Work faster. We're going to have to work faster because there's going to be a time when midnight comes. I mean, you know, God is long-suffering, but there is the day when God is saying the cup is full. It was a revelation, isn't it, Mark? And all of those saints that went before us, all the blood of them that were slain on their altar, said, how long, O Lord, until you will avenge us of the martyrdom that was done? He says, just wait just a little while. He didn't say a long while. No, he said a little while, Patty. So there's something we need to be. We need to be, I don't know how to say the word. Well, it's not inflexible. We need to be submissive. We need to be pliable. We need to have, what is it, Ezekiel? Or was it Isaiah that talked about removing the stony heart and replacing it with a tender heart. Huh? Removing that stony heart. Randall, I don't want the devil to have rule over me, do you? I don't think so. Anybody here want the devil to rule over you? Anybody here want you to be submit to the devil? Tell him you're a liar, devil. Huh? You know, you can be a quiet person, a reserved person, but you know, you got to get up and fight. Huh? You got to get up and fight, young lady. Tell the devil he's a liar. Kick him out of your place. If he's in your thoughts or if he's in your actions, kick him out. Hallelujah. And you know, one of the marvelous ways you kick him out is that you just repent of your sins. If you did wrong with someone, you just come up and you go, gosh, I was terrible today. Will you forgive me? You know, something about the power of forgiveness. Not only for your own soul, but the ability to forgive others of their sins. That's a power. Jesus, you know, when Jesus rose and he appeared to his disciples, remember, help me if I'm wrong, but there was a part when he came and he breathed upon them the Holy Spirit. Remember that? Huh? Isn't that right in the scripture? And then he says, I have given you the power to retain and to remit sin. And there's something powerful about being able to release people from their sin. Amen. Now it's up to that other individual to release themselves. But you have the power to release not only them, but you, because your hands are clean. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the more that we move in that spirit, in that nature, in that character, the more it gives an environment for God and the conviction of God to convict others. And you leave that up to God. Yeah. Hallelujah. And some people, it takes a long, long, long time. 30, 40 years. Don't give up. Just don't let the attitudes of others change you. Love them. Huh? Amen. The nature of God. Love them. Hallelujah. Keep your heart on fire for the Lord. Amen. Do you remember what we were reading in Luke? He says that we should gird ourselves. I'm going to close. Back to Luke 12. There's just so much more, but I think this is what God has for this afternoon. I am trusting, brethren, that the Spirit of God is speaking to you. But as we read in verse chapter 12 and verse 35, Jesus said, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Huh? Huh? Your lamps burning. Your lamps. Lamps burning. Huh? It was Luke 12:35. You know, we would sing this song. I don't think we sang it for a while, but it was like, give me oil in my lamps. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamps, I pray. Give me oil in my lamps. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Hallelujah. Let us have that heart. Amen. Let us have that heart. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Yes, Judy.
Did you finish the dream?
Did I finish the dream? I did the cold part, but then I talked about the evangelism that I... Oh, there is another part. And there probably... Actually, it was a three-part dream. I can't remember the first, but I'm going to share with you the last, being you asked that. And it was interesting because the scene changed after all that went on. And we were now in a conference-like setting. And we were up and we were beginning to praise the Lord. And we were going to start a song. And it was a song out of Corinthians. And so we were getting ready to put it on. And all of a sudden, an older gentleman walked into the room and sat down. And he looked harmless and everything, but it was the devil himself.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So... we need to discern. We need to discern the Spirit of God. I mean, that was a word that was brought 2 years ago. The Lord had spoke, teach my people to discern. And that's the problem with the church. We're not discerning. We become respecter of persons rather than hearing the Word of God. We need to understand how God is bringing His Word in this hour, what it means to us, and that we need to submit to it. Hallelujah. It's important for me, and I believe it's important for you, that we need to hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And to have the heart of God. Now I'm going to share one more thing, and it's real quick. Verse John, it says, what is it, John 16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish but have everlasting life. You know, my heart is for every individual out there that they would come to know the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. To have the same heart, God, that God wouldn't want any to perish. I don't want to see anyone perish. I want, and I don't want to see if my brethren in a bad way perish in any way. I pray for my brethren and bless them and ask that God would lead them and that they would fulfill the covenant and the calling and election in their lives. As I pray for that for myself and for you today, that we fulfill that calling as sons of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you.